Okay, we are daf today is Nunchet. We're going to start near the bottom of, or not so close to the bottom of Nun Zion Amabet, at the story of the woman with her seven sons. It's maybe 18 lines from the bottom. Again, the Lo Nishmachana Bat Atara for this week, and Refuot Shlemo Dvar Bat Dino Az Avram Shema Men Chana Kami Bat Nima Orli Pnina Bat Racha Frida Chaim Alka Esther Bat Sipora Daniel Ben Mirim Chai Rud Yosef Bar Mechele Bat Rivka Rafal Yashu Chalat Ben Bracha Bat Yeti Mirim Bat Chana Racha Yael Mirim Bat Chaya Rina Chaya Bat Shoshana Eliezer Chaim Ben Dreza Yaakov Ben Rosa. Okay. So this story appears in Josephus in a different version of Chana and Shivat Baneha, which is a very known story to everyone. And the Rasha there is Antiochus, as opposed to here, where the Rasha is the Caesar Haromi, right? The Greeks, the Romans, different time periods. Very common that we have a story with different versions, you know, the same kind of basic idea. Where we left off yesterday, just to review, we had this story about the children who jumped into the water, which, by the way, appears in a keynote also. A lot of these stories appear in keynote, okay? This year, when you say keynote, you'll pay attention and you'll see that a lot of these stories appear in the keynote. One of the very famous ones we're going to learn today that I imagine you'll remember from the keynote. So this one about the boys jumping into the water, the whole, I rushed through it at the end, but the whole debate really was that they weren't sure, is it okay to, at least one of the interpretations is, when they hesitated and they said, you know, do we do this or not? The issue was, did they jump into the water and commit suicide, right? Are you supposed to do that or not? And then they darshan in this Kal Vachomer from the girls, right? Interestingly enough, they take the girls as their example and they learn from the women or the girls that what they did, if they did it, then it must be okay to do. And they learn it from the Pasuk, Amar Hashem Yibashan Ashiv, Ashiv Mim Tzulo Yam. So I didn't see the interpretation you said that the Aryeh is a reference to the Romans. But Bibashan, by the way, is Bein Shinaim, from between the teeth, and from between the teeth of an Aryeh. In other words, you will get returned. And the other issue, by the way, some people say, and this is why the Pasuk proves it, that they were concerned maybe they wouldn't get Tchiyat HaMetim, because they were dying in Chutz La'aretz, because they were out in the water. And so that Ashiv, you will be returned to Tchiyat HaMetim from either Bein Shinaim Aryeh or from the Tovim Bayam, Mim Tzulot Yam, from the depths of the water. And then they learn all this whole story, and this is what leads into today, is they learn the whole story from Ki Alecha. They say, this is right, in general what we've been doing is bringing Psukim, that describe the Churban, and saying, where do we see the actualization of this Pasuk? In actuality, again, these aren't meant to be necessarily historical realities, but they're trying to darshan the Pasuk into making a story. So we're going to see five interpretations of this pasuk. Ki alecha horadnu kol hayom, nechshavnu katzon tibcha. So what's this alecha horadnu? So it could be, again, different interpretations. We'll go with one. Al kiddush Hashem, basically, right? For the sake of God, we killed ourselves. So now, Rabbi Yehuda brought that in the name of Shmuel. Now Rabbi Yehuda himself says, he has a different interpretation to this alecha horadnu kol hayom. Rabbi Yehuda amar, zo isha b'shiva baneha. Okay, what was the story? Atua kama lekame de Kesar. They brought the first one in front of the Kesar. Amrule plach lavodat kochavim. Worship of Avodah Zarah. Amar lehu, katu b'torah, nochi Hashem elokecha. Lo yelech, okay, nochi Hashem elokecha. God is my God, I can't do it. Afkuhu v'katluhu. Okay, so they kill him. Vatu l'idach, now they bring the next kid, l'kame, to Kesar, in front of the Kesar. Amule, plach lavodah kochavim, worship of Odesara. Amar lehu, katu b'torah, lo yelucha lohim achirim apanai. We can't worship other gods. We're basically going to bring, right, each one is going to bring a different pasuk that says we have to worship God. It's obviously, right, the first two are the simplest, most obvious ones. After that, they're going to have to be more creative. Apku v'katluhu, they kill him. Atu li'idach, they bring the next one. Amrule, plach lavodah kochavim. Amar lehu, he says, katu b'torah, zovech l'elohim yecheram. Anyone who worships other gods will be gecherem. Afku v'katluhu. Atu li'idach, they bring the next. Amrule, plach lavodah kochavim. Amar lehu, katu b'torah, lo tishachave le'el acher. Right, we can't worship any other god. Afku v'katluhu. Atu li'idach, they bring the next one. Amrule, plach lavodah kochavim. Amar lehu, he says to them, "Katu b'Torah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." Apku v'katlu, they kill him. Atu li'idach, Amar le, plach lavodah kochavim. Amar lehu, "Katu b'Torah, v'yadata yom v'shevot el vavecha, ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim im'al v'al ha'aretz mitachat ein od." Okay, God is the only God. Afku v'katzlu. Atu li'idach. They bring the next one. Amar le'e plach l'avodat kochavim. Amar lehu, katub b'torah, et Hashem he'emarta v'chulei, Hashem he'emircha hayom. Right, this is we, right, we make God the one who's special to him, and he makes us the one who's special to him. Kvar nishbanu l'kadosh baruch hu she'en anu ma'avirim oto be'el acher. V'afu nishban lanu she'en ma'avir otanu be'uma acher. Right, we've each committed our vows of, you know, only, I will be only to you, you will be only to me. Amar le kesar, ishte lach gushpanka, v'gachin v'shakle, kehe chudulim ru, kabel alai hermana demalka. Okay, so now he says to this last one, he has a little rachmanut all of a sudden, the last kid, he says, listen, just, I'm going to put a coin on the floor. You go, right?
My ring.
It could be my ring or a coin, right? The gushpa, yeah, I guess it's the ring. And go down and pick it up, and people will think that you're bowing down to me, okay? And then at least it'll have the appearance, right? The king was obviously, not only did he have rachmanut, but it was embarrassing to him, right? That none of these kids would bow down to him. It was a huge embarrassment. So he said, look, I'm just going to put this down. You bow down, and then at least it'll appear to everybody that you're bowing down, but you're not actually bowing down. Amar le, chaval alecha kesar, chaval alecha kesar. Sorry, but, you know, it's not going to work out for you. Al kvod atzmecha, kach al kvod hakadosh baruch hu alecha kama v'kama. Right, if you want so much for your kavod atzmecha, you're willing to do this, think about how much more so I have to respect my own God. Afku l'miktale, they bring him out to kill him. Amar lehu ime, the mother says, Yahavuhu niale v'inshike porta. Just bring him to me and let me at least kiss him before you kill him. Amra lo banai lechuv amru l'avichen l'Avraham avichen. Go up, right? She's obviously now going to make a reference to Akedat Yitzchak. Go up and tell Avraham when you're in Shemayim. Ata akadet hamizbeach echad v'ani akadeti shiv'a mizbechot. Okay, even though he didn't even actually do it, right? But she figures Avraham Avinu is the only one who's going to actually be able to identify with what she just went through. Af hi alta lagag v'nafla u'meta. Okay, she goes now and commits suicide. We have all these suicide stories, right? Interesting. Right, she just couldn't tolerate it, and she goes up and she kills herself. Yatzta bakova amra em habanim smicha. Okay, they say this is what the pasuk em habanim smicha is referring to. Right, I assume, I don't know, you can think about what this means, but I thought it meant that she's happy that she's at least now with her children, and that her children were, you know, were willing to do what they should have done, which is, there's the whole issue of Yareg Val Yavor, right? And you should get killed instead of worshiping Avodah Zarah, so she was proud of her children for that they didn't give in to him. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar. So now we're back to this pasuk. So that was Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom, right? That here these kids were dying. And this Alecha, again, is either for Hashem, or you could say that Alecha in the first story was Al Giloy Arayot, and in the second story it's Al Avodah Zarah. Right, which would then fit in with these, you know, the theme of the three things that Yareg Val Yavor, that you have to kill yourself rather than do Avodah Zarah, Shvichut Damim, killing other people, which doesn't appear here. And Avodah Zarah, we said, and Giloy Ariyat. So now we're going to have a few other things which don't necessarily all relate to the Chorban. I think none of them relate to the Chorban. Okay, Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom. Amar Zo Milash and Itna B'Shmini. Okay, they say milah. The brit milah is a way of either the blood appears to be like killing, or it's a sakana for the baby, and yet we do it anyway. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer elu tamidei chachamim. This is an interesting one. Shemarin hilchot shmita ba'atzman. They practice hilchot shmita on themselves and bring themselves to a state where they might potentially kill themselves. By the way, there's a very interesting reference, because there's a famous story in Megillah that we learned about, which you might have learned otherwise, where it's all about you're supposed to get drunk, Adelo Yada, and then there's this story that Rabba kills Rabbi Zeira, and they say, you know, so one of the interpretations that the Acharonim give to this story is that maybe he was practicing Hilchot Shechita on him, and they thought that he actually killed him. So I thought that maybe the concept for that Perush came from here, that the rabbis that practiced Hilchot Shechita on themselves. De'amar Rava, kol mile lech ze'inish b'nafshe bar mishchita v'davar acher. And so now they say, right, this isn't what's supposed to happen, because you're supposed to practice everything on yourself except for two things, shechita and davar acher. Davar Acher, there's two different interpretations. One is that it means sexual relations. Okay, you shouldn't go practicing that, right? To try it out, you know, to try to teach people things that way. The other thing is they say it's like mitzora. Don't try to show what mitzora is. Like, don't try to... Sometimes mitzora is called Davar Acher. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Elu tamidei chachamim shemimitim atzmam al divrei Torah, kederabi Shimon ben Lakish, da'amar Rish Lakish, ein divrei Torah mitkaimim, ela b'mi shemimit atzmo alehem, shene'amar zot ha-Torah adam ki yamut ba'ohel. Okay, how does he take this pasuk, right? This means, what is the literal, right? These are the laws about what happens when a person dies in an ohel, and it's all dini tumah. But the way he understands is, this is the Torah that Adam is supposed to mimit atzmo ba'ohel, right? They always talk about ohel of Torah. Are you supposed to kill yourself in the yeshiva in order to learn Torah? By the way, this connects with what we saw about Rish Lakish, where he was so upset that he died and left a karkom of a kav of karkom, you know, the saffron spice, and that's all he had left in his belt, right? It was left, but he said, I can't believe I didn't, right, I worked for this and I didn't even use it. In other words, his whole idea was work very minimally and kill yourself over Torah. In other words, even if it means you eat very little and you don't do so, you know, you don't have pleasures in this world, right, that's what you should be doing. So that's ki alecha horagnu kol hayom. In order to learn Torah, we should put ourselves in a, you know, he obviously doesn't mean you should kill yourself, but you should do the minimum of that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of learning. Someone want to say something?
No, it seems to me goes against the grain of everything we espouse to, whether it's chai b'hem or whether it's kedusha in this world and embracing this world.
So first of all, there's different approaches to this all. Okay, there's approaches that say, you know, just like how much should you learn and how much should you work, and there's we've seen back and forth. There's different approaches, and the Gemara, as always, when we see these things, this is one person's opinion, right? Just like he said, you know, never invest in anything, right? His whole approach was get rid of all your money. Whereas other Gemaras we saw said you should invest your money in this and you should invest in that, and there's different approaches, and different people took different outlooks on life.
In fact, you know, to be a respected person, you know, the head of Sanhedrin, whatever, you had to have money, you had to be rich.
Right. So then, it depended what job you wanted, right? For certain jobs, you needed to have wealth. The Kohen Gadol and the head of the, I think it was, the Nasi for sure.
Nasi.
Right. So, you know, there's different approaches and different, you know, so this is one approach. Amar Rabba Rachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we're back to our story about Harugei Beitar. If you remember, we were at the right that the side of the Merkava caused the death of all the Harugei Beitar. Now we're going to talk about the devastating losses. Okay, and there's going to be different opinions about them. There were 40 se'ah. That's a measurement of volume. Okay, pretty large volume. 40 se'ah. That's a mikvah, right? And you notice they're taking terms that are measurements they're not that we know about, because you would never measure tefillin in volume, right? But okay, they want you to say 40 se'ah. Almost, you know, you think in your head all of a sudden mikvah tahara, right? And then all of a sudden you talk about death. Arba'im se'ah kitzutzei tefillin nimtzu b'roshei harugei beitar. Okay, that's how many people were killed. That if you measured all the tefillin on the heads of those people, it would come out to 40 se'ah. Rabbi Yana b'Rabbi Yishmael amar shalosh shalosh kupot shel arba'im se'ah. Three boxes full of each one being arba'im se'ah, so 120 se'ah. V'matnita tana arba'im kupot shel shalosh shalosh se'in. Also 120, but a different breakdown, right? The Braita says that it was 40 boxes, and each one had three se'ah inside. So now they want to say, okay, so the first one says 40, and the second two say 120 se'ah. So what's the difference? Now they say, v'lo pligi, hadereisha, hadedara. One is tefillin shel rosh, and one was talking about the tefillin shel yad, the zroah. Okay, dalet and zayin we saw the other day switch. So dare is zroah. So now, I think it's Rashi explains that the tefillin shel rosh, right, were bigger than the tefillin shel yad, and am I confusing it? One second. Right. The Rosh is Gdolin, because the Rosh has four batim in it, and the Zroah has one bayit with everything written in it. Like, it's one cloth. So nowadays, it's actually the same size. But you can see that in the time of the Gemara, they were different sizes. Okay, and therefore, they say the Rosh was much bigger, and therefore, they only have 40 se'ahs worth, but it was the same amount of No, it was right. It was the opposite. Right, they had bigger because it was more. Right, right. It was the same. Right, it was the same amount of tefillin. It was just it took up a much bigger volume. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi, arba'a kabim moach nimtzu al evin echad. Okay, this is kind of gross. Okay, but brains worth. Okay, four kabim worth of brains were found on one stone. Ula amar tishat kabim. Okay, here we have machlokot about how many kav were actually there. Okay, what the point of arguing about amounts, right, is just I guess how you know how what the great magnitude was. Amar Rav Chana b'Tema Shila bar Mary Maikra'a, but where do you learn this from the pasuk? Bat Babel Hashiduda, okay, the daughter of Babel who was robbed, Ashrei Sheishalem Lach, Et Gebulech Shegamal Talan, you have to really read the rest here, okay? What does it mean? Babel, you're going to get paid back for everything you did. Now, what's the next pasuk? Ashrei Sheyochez B'nipetet Olalayich El Sela. Okay, what's going to happen to you? They're going to break apart your young ones on the rock. So therefore, if she's going to get what she gave, right, what she dished out, what she obviously dished out was that the kids were, you know, exploded on the rocks, and therefore their brains were on the rocks here. Very pleasant image. B'nei Tzion ha'yikarim ha'mesula'im bapaz. Okay, what does mesula'im bapaz mean? It means they were comparable to fine gold. My mesula'im bapaz, so what does this mean? Ilem adahavu mechape bepiza, if you want to say they were covered in fine gold, va'amri debe rabbi shile, tarti Mitkale istere, okay, two mishkalot, okay, two weights worth of istera, okay, that's the coin, of Pisa, nachut ba'alma. Okay, there were two measurements of fine gold that were two isteras worth of measurements of fine gold that were given to the world, meaning it's very rare. Okay, there's not a lot of it. There were two, right? An istera is a coin that can't weigh too much, right? So two measurements of this amount were given to the world. Chada b'romi. One measurement of it was given to Rome, and the rest was given to the whole world. So therefore, it can't possibly be that they were all covered in fine gold because there's not enough of fine gold in the world to go around. You follow? So it can't be that the B'nai Tzion HaYikarim were actually covered with fine gold. Ela shahayum meganin et apaz biyofyan. And what does this mean? That they made the gold look ugly because they were so beautiful. Okay, that's how beautiful they were. That even fine gold compared to them didn't look nice. Meikara chashivi derome havanate bilione de gushpanka umishamshe arsaihu. Okay, in the beginning, the chashuvim of Rome, we've seen this before, by the way, with Rabbi Yochanan. The people, Rabbi Yochanan used to sit outside the mikveh so the women would see Rabbi Yochanan when they got out of the mikveh, and then they would go home and sleep with their husbands. And since Rabbi Yochanan was so beautiful, they would have children as beautiful as Rabbi Yochanan. So there's this concept of when you're having sex, whatever you see is going to be the way your children are going to look. So what would the Romans do? It wasn't a Jewish concept. It was a broader concept in the world. So what would the Romans do? First, they would take this bilione de gushpanka. We saw that was this coin, okay? Umishamshe of this gold. I think it's how they translate it. It's so. There were these nice, pretty images. Rashi says on their signet rings, okay? And they thought if they were mishamish arsayu, you know, they would then see that image, and that image would make them have beautiful children. Mikam va'elach maitu b'nei Yisrael. Va'asrei b'kari d'puraihu. They would take Jews after that, and they would tie them on the edges of their beds. Umisham she, and they would have sex. Amarle, chad l'chavre ha'hechiktiva. Amarle chad l'chavre. One of them said to the other, ha'hechiktiva. Where does it say this? Amarle, gam kol choli v'chol makash shelo katu b'sefer ha'torah hazot. Okay, this is a pasuk from Devarim in the Tochacha, and it says, not only all these things, but even things that aren't written in this book are going to come to you, and that's what it's talking about in the Tochacha, that the Jews are going to be used, tied onto the beds, and have to endure watching these non-Jews have sex with each other in order that, you know, the Romans can have beautiful children, and that's what's referenced in this pasuk. And that's a bit of an interesting discussion here. Amar, kama marchichna miduch teplan. Where am I learning? Am I, like, how far am I from having learned that pasuk and having understood this, I guess, without having to have asked you the question? Amarle, ingid pusto palga. You're like a daf and a half away, okay? Or a column and a half away. Amarle, imatai legabai lo itzri chalach. Had I gotten there by myself, I wouldn't have needed you to tell me this. It would have been obvious to me. Okay, it's a bit of a strange discussion. I'm not really sure what the meaning is. Anyway, it shows a little bit of arrogance and learning, right? Because it's not so clear that that's what the pasuk is referencing, right? He asked a question, then he was like trying to cover up for the fact that he didn't realize that that's what the pasuk was about. And he's saying, oh yeah, had I gotten there, I would have known. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. My dichtiv, okay, we're continuing now with all sorts of pasukim about the Chorban. My dichtiv, here's a pasuk from Eicha. Eini olala lenafshi mikol benot iri. Okay, my eye affects the soul because of all the women of the city. Arba me'ot batei knesiot hayu b'krach beitar. There were 400 shuls. U'b'chol achat, b'achat, again, we're getting into this, right, exaggeration. 400 is a number they use a lot in stories. Okay, interestingly enough, we use the 40 before the 40 say, ah, now we're on the 400. There were 400 batei knesiot. U'b'chol achat, b'achat, hayu b'arba me'ot b'lamdei tinokot. Okay, there were 400 teachers in each beit kneset. Okay, each teacher had 400 students. When the enemy would come in, the children would take their little sticks or their pencils or something like that, and they would try to stab them. Okay, when the enemy came and captured them, they tied them up on their in their books and they burned them up in fire. How does this connect with the pasuk? Because it's that the pasuk seemed to say mikol benot iri. I guess it means from all the people in the city. That's what it's saying. From all the, it's not the duck of the daughters. It's saying all the benot ha'ir are the people who live in the city. So it's saying it was hard to see this vision, right, of them taking the children and binding the books with it. Tana Rabbanan. Maaseh b'Rabbi Yehoshua. By the way, we're going to get toward the bottom of this page. We're going to finish the stories and then we're going to get back to the Sikari Kon. Okay. Tana Rabbana, Maaseh b'Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya, shalach l'krach gadol sheberomi. Okay, he went to a big city in Romi. V'amrulo, when he got to the city, they said to him, Tinok echad yesh bebeit hasurim, yafe einayim v'tov ra'ui, u'kvutzotav sdurim lo taltalim. Okay, there's a young child in one of these that were taken captive by the Romans, and he's beautiful, and he has beautiful curls. Halach v'amar al petach beit hasurim. He went, goes to the entranceway. Amar, Mi yitain l'mishisa Yaakov Yisrael l'bozazim. Okay, he quotes this pasuk because he wants to find this kid. So he quotes a pasuk that says, who's going to make Yaakov destroyed in Yisrael, right, turned into the spoils. And who's going to make Yaakov and Yisrael become spoils? Anau totinok v'amar, halo Hashem zochatanu lo v'lo avu b'drachav haloch, v'lo shamu b'torato. Okay, instead of complaining, what does he do? He starts to say, well, there's a reason why this is happening, right? Even though he's sitting in jail and he's obviously upset about what happened, instead of crying out against God, what does he say? He says, it's our fault. We put ourselves in this situation. Amar, so now, what does Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya say about this kid? Muvtachani bo shemoreho ra'abi Yisrael. This guy is going to be a great teacher. Ha'avodah, I swear, she'eni zaz mikan ad she'avdenu b'chol mamon she'poskin alav. Okay, back to our pidyon shfuyim. Right, this guy is worthy, and this is obviously the source that they use. We talked about it then. That for Talmidei Chachamim, they say it's allowed, or for your wife. Remember, there were certain exceptions we made to the rule that you could spend all this money. So they, he said, "I'm going to spend all the money in the world to get this guy out." Amru lozaz misham ach b'daome b'mon harbe. He ends up redeeming him for a lot of money. V'lo hayu yamim mu'atim ad shahoreho ra'abi Yisrael umanu Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Okay, and who is this Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha? Okay, sounds like a good story, okay? But the story has a sad ending, okay? Now we're going to get to this very famous kina that you probably have heard. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Ma'aseh b'bino b'tosha Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Okay, the son of this Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Elisha, what happened to his children, the son and daughter? Shenishbu l'shnei adonim. They get taken captive into shnei adonim. By the way, this story, again, we don't have time to do this, but if you compare the version, there's a version in Eicha Rabbah, there's a version in the kina, there's different... There's all different versions of this story. Anyway, we're going to read the one that's here, and you can learn different things from each one. They got taken by two different people. Liyamim nizdavgu shnehem b'makom echad. Okay, they end up becoming getting back together again, but not in a very pleasant way. How? Zeh omer yesh li eved she'en ki yofyo b'chol ha'olam. V'zeh omer yesh shivcha she'en b'chol ha'olam kulo ki yofya. Okay, they each say to each other, I have an Eved and I have a Shifra. Each, they're so beautiful. And the other one says, oh, I have one, she's so beautiful. Amru, bovenisiem zelizem and echalek bevladot. Right, let's marry them off. We'll split the children, right? We'll each have these beautiful slave children. Hichnisam lecheders, lehichnisam lecheder. So they put him in a room in order to have sex with each other. Ze yashav b'keren zavit ze, v'zo yashav b'keren zavit ze. Each one sat in their own corner. Ze omer ani kohen ben kohanim gedolim. How could it be me, the son of kohanim gedolim, esa shivcha? I'm going to end up sleeping with a shivcha. Obviously, they didn't recognize each other. It was a dark room. V'zot omeret ani kohenet bat kohanim gedolim en ase le'eved. And she says, how am I going to be, right, the daughter of kohanim gedolim? I'm going to marry an eved. Now, what's obvious about this whole story is, right, what's going on, they think that's the most tragic thing that could happen to them, right? But obviously, what's more tragic? They sleep with their own brother, right? That's even worse than their own
siblings. Well, the issue seems to be status, not having sex at all.
Well, it's status, but I think it's... You think it has to do with status. Interesting.
I mean, it looks like they're not there weeping about...
It's saying about having to marry someone of a lower status, right?
We saw this woman adopt back to her husband, but there's no ketubah, don't touch me. And here these two are not weeping about
that. That's so interesting. I never focused on that in the story. It's a really interesting reading. I like it. It's almost saying that they're... What Ruth is saying is that each one is concerned, at least according to this version of the story, each one is concerned that they're going to marry someone of a lower status. You understand? It's almost like, and it's then what I said is much more so stressed. In other words, they're worried, right? What's their concern? That it's all about their status. But what's really happening is way worse, that they're going to end up sleeping with their sibling. Right? You understand? That's like, it's like misplaced, you know, it's almost like when they cried at the Meraglim, right? You cried about this, I'll give you something to really cry about, right? And that's really what's going to happen in the story, because they're each kind of crying, right? Does it say they're crying here?
They both take away from the story.
I'm sorry.
It does take away from the story. But no, it doesn't take away from the story, because what's it showing? It's showing it's critical of the people, just like these other stories. It was the people brought the Churban on themselves. This is what happened. It's almost... How does the story start out? It's a very interesting reading, because how does the story start out? It starts out with this guy who's sitting in the jail, who's the brilliant guy, right? Yeshua, the father of these children. What's he saying? It's all because of our chata'im. And what happens with his children? It's all about their chata'im, right? They're all about the status, and you know, it's all about the importance, like kamsa bar kamsa. Who are you, and where are you in society, and do you join? Are you part of our society? Are you not part of our society? And that's part of what was going on there. It's very interesting to read it that way, right? And as we always read it in a different way, and I don't remember all the other versions, but I think it's very possible the other versions show it in a different way. Because again, that's what I always like to show about different versions. Each one is trying to highlight a different message. So the message in the Bavli, which, by the way, fits with the message of the arrogance, and it fits in with the version of the Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, or the Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel story, where also it's about status, it's about who's more important in society. Rabban Gamliel goes to Rabbi Yeshua Lefayesoto, and his house is all black because Rabbi Yeshua was poor, and Rabban Gamliel has never seen anything like this. He doesn't even understand from the poverty. And there's the Bavli in general, because obviously what was going on in Babylonian society, there were the rich and the poor. And it's all about, and that's why when we started our stories, what did we say? It was all about these very rich people versus the very poor people. And there was a big highlighting of this issue. And obviously the Babylonians were struggling with this. And that's why their stories highlight those aspects, because that's what they want to, that's the message they want to get to their readers. Okay, so let's keep reading the story. Ubachu kol halayla. Okay, they cry all night. Kevan shala amura shachar, he kiru ze et ze, venaflu ze al ze, vega'ubi bechia ad shi anetzanish matan. Valehen konen yumiyaw alayla bet nibochia, eni yordam mayim. Okay, so then they wake up in the morning, they recognize each other, they fall on each other, and then they really cry, right? Ga'ubi bechia. It's like, that was the real cry now. This is really tragic. And then yatsanish matan, you can imagine there was a mix of emotions here. Happiness at seeing there was their sibling, but sadness at seeing about what their fate was going to be, that they were going to have to marry each other. And again, this suicide kind of thing, theme, and this is what Yirmiyahu is konen, alela ani bochia, ini ani yordamayim, whether ani bochia is Yirmiyahu or it's God, right? Either way, this is what we're crying about. Amar Ish Lakish, maseh bishachat, utsofnat bat pni al shmar. That was her name. Shmat tsofnat, why tsofnat? Shakot tsofim biyofia. Everybody looked at her beauty. Vat Piniel, why? Because she was Bitosha Kohen Gadol, Shashimesh Lefanai Velifnim. Okay, she was the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, who was the only one who got to go on the Kodesh Kodeshim, obviously a very holy person. Shenitaleo bas shabai kol alayla. Okay, the guy who captured her was torturing her all night. Lemachar ho bishah shiv'a chalukim. V'hotzia lemochra. In the morning, he dressed her up with seven covers and he brings her out to sell her. Ba adam achad shaya mechu'ar biyoter. A very ugly person comes out. Amar lo harein yak yofya. He wants to see her beauty. Amar lo reika. You empty person. Im atar rotze likach. In other words, you don't need to look at her. Just take her. I promise you she's the most beautiful person in the world. Amarlo, apa pichen. He says, anyway, I don't care. I still want to see her beauty. Hifshitas shisha chalukim, and he left her with her one on. Vishvi'i, what did she do? Kra'ata v'nitpasha be'efer. She ripped it off and she rolled herself in the ashes. Or in the, is that how they translate it?
Yeah.
In the ashes. Amra lefanav ribono shel olam im aleinu lo chasta, right? If you're not going to have rachmanut on us, al kedushat shimcha gibor lama lo tachus. Okay, why don't you at least have care for your own name? Ba'aleh konin yumiyahu bat ami. Now you can see where they get this idea about that she was rolling in the ashes. Here's the pasuk: bat ami chigri sak vihit palshi ba'efer. Okay, wear a sock and roll over in the ashes. So that's where they darshan the story from. Avel Yachid Asilach Mispeh Tamarim. Wait, this is the continuation of the Pasuk, or we're starting a new one? No, this is the continuation of the Pasuk. Avel Yachid Asilach Mispeh Tamarim, Ki Pitom Yavoa Shoded Aleinu. Okay, so now they're going to darshan this part. Alech Alone Emar Ela Aleinu. Kiv Yachol Alai Ve'Alecha. In other words, how do they get that this is what she said to him? Because Yavoa Shoded Aleinu. The point is, it's not only coming against us, but it was also against God. It was a slap in God's face. Even though God kind of made things happen because of that, but we caused things to be so bad that it slapped God in the face also. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, my dichtiv va'ashko gever ubeto v'ish nachalato. Okay, they were oshek, they were oppressing a gever and his wife, ish and his a man in his house, and ish and his nachala. Maseba adam achad shenatan einav be'eshet rabo. There was a guy who had his eyes on his rav's wife. Bishulia dinar nagre hava. He was a carpenter. Pamachat hutzrach lelavot. Okay, one day his rav needed a loan. Amarlo shgar ishtecha etzli v'alavena. Okay, send your wife with the money. I'm sorry, send your wife to get the money, and I'll loan you the money. Shigar ishto etzlo. So he sends his wife to get the money. Shahayimash losha yamim. Okay, she stays with him for 3 days. It's not clear if she sleeps with him in those 3 days or not, or she just stayed over. It's very possible she didn't. Okay, we'll see for the end of the story. There's two versions, whether he already slept with her, in which case he's not allowed to marry her anymore, or he didn't actually sleep with her, but this was all part of a plot he was planning so that he'd actually be able to marry her eventually. And then it's just a matter, did he do it lefi alacha or not lefi alacha? Obviously, nothing he did was lefi alacha because it was, you know, not in the spirit of halacha, but maybe he was using the halacha to kind of, you know, protected himself with halach, by halachic means, or maybe he was over on halacha immediately and didn't care. Okay. Kidemu batzlo. So the guy comes to the guy, and so the rav comes to the guy and says, Amarlo, ishti sheshagarti l'chai chani. Where is she? Amarlo, what?
3 days later.
Right, 3 days later. Right, you got to wonder what happened there. Unless it was a far distance, and you know,
he talked to the rabbi already. The rabbi had already asked for the money, so it couldn't have been too far.
Right, it couldn't have been too far, yes. Amarlo, ani paterti ala arter. Oh, I let her go immediately. V'shamati shatino kotnit aleluba baderech. And I heard that the young children attacked her, raped her on the way. Amarlo, ma esse, says, what should I do? Elena, now my wife was, you know, slept with all these other men. I'm not allowed to be with her anymore. Amarlo, imatashomea la tzati, girsha. If you listen, take my advice, you should divorce her. Now again, what do we see here? A mess up of status, right? The rabbi is supposed to be telling the Talmid what to do, and here the Talmid is telling the rabbi what to do, and the rabbi is taking his advice. Amarlo, ketubah tamaruba, but her ketubah is so expensive, how am I going to afford it? Amarlo, ani alavecha, v'ten la ketubah, ketubata. Don't worry, I'll loan you the money, give her a ketubah, and divorce her. Amad zebi girsha, halachu v'nisa, okay? He divorced her, the other guy marries her. Kevan shigia zmano, v'lo hayala l'paro. When the guy comes time for him to pay back the loan, he doesn't have money. Amarlo, bova se mi bechovcha. Why don't you just become my slave and you'll work for me and then you'll pay off your loan that way. V'hayush him yoshvim v'ochlim v'shotim v'hu haya omeru mashteh alehem. Okay. So now there's two just things about what made this story so bad. There's one interpretation says it's because of this, the nechdar gzardin, and the other interpretation says no, it's the two ptilot were bener echad, which means basically the two men slept with the same woman, in which case this version means that he actually slept with her in the first place when she was still married, she was still an Eshet Ish. And that's what was so bad. And the other is, no, just that this guy did this terrible thing, right? And finagle, you know, sneakily tricked his rabbi. The question is, why on one person's sin does the whole, again, it's the whole question of why was everyone responsible? The point was, this story, everyone knew the Rav, right? Everyone, and that's usually the Rav was a known person, and that the people let this story happen, and let, you know, here she went to his house for 3 days, nobody paid attention, the woman walked into his house and didn't come out, and, you know, the rabbi's wife, think about it, the rabbi's wife walking on the street, you know, goes into the house, nobody pays attention. Like, it was, again, this concept, first of all, again, flipping of society, the Rav becomes the Eved, and the society lets this happen. Nobody gives the Rav money to get out of this horrible situation and not to be an Eved for this guy. You know, like a little bit of looking around you, seeing what's going on and taking responsibility for what's happening. Okay, again, so much to say, not enough time. Okay, lakach mina sikarikom. We're going back to the Mishnah now. Okay, we didn't learn the Mishnah together, so we should just review briefly, although we don't have a lot of time, but let's go back to the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah is on Nunhei Amubet. Lo haya sikarikom biYehuda baharugei melchama, meharugei melchama ve'elach yesh ba sikarikom. Okay, kitzad. Let's understand what this means. Sikarikom means the law of the sikarikom. Now, what is the law of the sikarikom? The sikarikom himself is a non-Jew who basically seizes land from other people. What's the situation? Kitzad. Lakach misikarikom. What's the din sikarikom that we're talking about that either is or in existence right at different times? So, lakach misikarikon, if the sikarikon seizes your property and maybe pays you something, but pays you either very little or nothing for it, then somebody else buys from the sikarikon, okay? Even if he goes, now the question is, this is stolen property, right? So did the original owner, was he makne, did he give over his property to the sikarikon? So does the sikarikon legitimately own this or not? So depends on whether it was harugei melchama or not harugei melchama. When the sikarikon were killing people, okay, they would kill anyone. So yeah, you gave over your property wholeheartedly and said, I'm giving you my property, take it. I'd rather that than lose my life. And therefore, he 100% owns it. And if you buy it from him, you own the property. But if meharugei melchama ve'elach, when they weren't killing people, okay, then what do we say? You didn't give it to him wholeheartedly. You hoped to get it back. So therefore, it doesn't really belong to the sikarikon. So now if someone buys it from the sikarikon, and even if he then comes, the chazar v'lakach min ha'ish, and then he goes and buys it from the original owner also, chazar v'lakach min balabayim, mikcho batel. He doesn't have a good sale. The original owner can go and take it out of his hands, because what's the assumption? Why did the original owner say, oh yeah, you can have my field? Because he was scared of the sikarikon. Because sikarikon wasn't going to get his sale, right? The guy goes to buy it. He says to the sikarikon, I want to buy your land, or the sikarikon is trying to sell it. But he knows that there's an original owner. So he said, well, I'm only going to buy it if the original owner agrees. So they go check with the original owner. The original owner agrees. He says, great. But what does that mean, the original owner agreed? He only agreed because he was scared of the sikarikon, right? What are the ramifications? Where if he didn't say yes, then the sikarikon was going to get angry with him and maybe do something more and take more from him. So therefore, it's batel. But if he first bought it from the balabayit and then he went to buy it off the sikarikon, then it would work, because then we don't have the balabayit at the same moment as the sikarikon. Clearly, he wasn't scared of the sikarikon. And then the same case with a man and his wife. If somebody buys property from a man, it was property that was going to end up the wife's, like it was part of the ketubah promised to her, it was her money that's going to go back to her, right? There's the money she comes into the marriage with and goes out with. So right now the husband has ownership rights to it, but she also in some future point will have ownership rights. So if he buys it from the man, But he has to get the wife's approval. So then he goes to get the wife's approval also. It doesn't work. Mikro batel, because the assumption is the woman's only saying it because she's scared of her husband. Her husband's not going to, right, he's going to be all angry with her if she doesn't say yes, because he's trying to sell the property. But if first he buys it off the woman, and then he just, you know, says to the man, listen, I know you have some ownership rights over this also, I'm going to buy it from you, then it works, because we're not concerned that she's lying. So now they say, zo mishnah rishona. That's all the way it used to work. But Beit Din Shalachareihem Amru, what was the problem now? People weren't going to buy land from the Sikari Kohen now, because they know that the original owner could just take it back from them, right? As long as we're talking about after the Gzeirat Malchut, what happens? The Din Sikari Kohen means the original owner could take it from you. So no one's going to buy from the Sikari Kohen. What happens then? All this land that the non-Jews seized became non-Jewish land. Jews didn't want that. They wanted the lands to be in the hands of Jews in Eretz Israel. So what did they say? Some people say this law only applies in Eretz Israel. Some people say it also applies in Chutz Laaretz. So what did they say? Halokeach misikari kon, noten lebaalim revia. Okay? What do you have to do? If you buy land from a sikari kon, you have to give a quarter of what you bought it for, okay, to the owner. Okay? It's unclear how to understand this quarter, okay? Is it a quarter of the value of the land or a quarter of what you bought it for? And what's the assumption? The assumption is that when you buy this land, the Sikari Kohen is selling it for much less than its value because he bought it for almost nothing. Either he bought it for nothing or he bought it for almost nothing, right? Either he seized it or he seized it for... So therefore, he doesn't care. He's just trying to sell it and make some money, but he's not selling it for the highest price. So therefore, you give part of... Because you're already getting land now for a lower price. So you give part of that money, either a quarter of the value of the land or a quarter of what you paid, to the original owner. Okay, that's the Din Sikari Kohen. But that's all. And matai bizman she'ein biyadam likach. This is all only if the original owner doesn't have money to buy the property himself. Aval yesh biyadam likach, hein kodmin lekol adam. But if they do have money, then they obviously have first dibs to buy this land. So if you're vying for the property with this other original owner, you have to let him buy it. But Rebbe Hoshiv Beitim, but a further takana Rebbe made was the nimnu she'im shahata b'fnei sikari kon shnemasar chodesh. If it's already been 12 months in the hands of the sikari kon and the owner didn't buy it back, the original owner, kol kodem likach zacha aval notan lebalim revia. Then you can for sure buy it. You don't have to give first rights to the owner. You just have to give him this revia that they were mitaken. That's the din sikari kon. Okay, so now back to nun chedem aleph at the bottom. Amarav. Now we're going to have a machlok at Rav and Shmuel about when this is valid. Lo shanu ela da amarlo lech chazak ukne aval bishtar kana. If you say, if the guy says to you, the original owner, yeah, you can go be on the property, right? What do we say? We don't believe him that he was serious because we assume he's just scared of the sikari kon. Aval bishtar, but if he wrote you a shtar for it and he wrote an actual contract, then kana. Ushmuel amar af bishtar nami lo kana. Okay, but even if you wrote a shtar, it's still not enough. If the original owner wrote you a shtar for the property, that's still not enough. It's only if he wrote you achrayut in the shtar, meaning if he wrote you more than what the shtar says, right? What is a shtar? A shtar says, I sell you the property. But an achrayut says, if one of the original, someone I owe money to, comes and takes this away from you to collect it, right, for in place of the loan that I had from them, then I promise I will give you property, right? I'll give you the money value that you spent. Okay, so if he wrote achrayut, then we know he's serious. Just a shtar, we don't know. Some people say, again, we don't have time to really go, I'll just kind of mention it. There's a machloket to Rav and Shmuel about his achrayut ta'ut sofer. Means if you didn't write achrayut in a shtar, do we assume that it was a mistake and you really meant to include achrayut? Rav thinks that every shtar includes achrayut. So some people say that that's the machloket here. That the machloket has nothing to do with this issue. It really has to do with, do you say that if you didn't write it, it's as if you had achrayut. So therefore, Rav thinks any shtar is as if it has achrayut, even if it doesn't have achrayut. And Shmuel says, no, you have to actually have achrayut to have achrayut. In any case, what both of them are saying is, that depending on what the original owner did when you tried to buy it from him, did he actually write a shtar? Did he write it with achrayut? That shows how serious he was or not. Was he really meaning what he meant or not? Because the whole issue here is we don't know, did that person actually mean to give it to you or did they not mean to give it to you? Okay, Tanya Kavitei de Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Lakach min Aisha, v'chazar v'lakach min Aish, mikho kayam. Min Aish v'chazar v'lakach min Aisha, mikho batel. Here's the case we just read in our Mishnah, but this Braita adds, Ajit ichtovlo achrayut. Okay, if she writes achrayut, even if she does it after the husband, right? They ask the wife after the husband. If she wrote achrayut, then it would work. Okay, so that proves Shmuel Shita, this braita. So now they say, so maybe there's a koshi on Rav. So they say, no, Rav could answer this. Amar l'cha Rav, my achrayut nami shtar. Achrayut is the same thing as saying a shtar. Okay, because again, he viewed that whole thing as the same thing. Okay, we'll go to the two dots and then we'll stop here for today. Tana Rabbanan, lakach min asikarikon va'achla sheva shanim b'fnei ba'alim. V'chazar u'machra la'acher. Okay, let's say you buy from the sikarikon. The original owner doesn't complain and say, I want my property back. And you eat this field for 3 years, okay? You use the stuff for 3 years. There's a concept in, right, that after 3 years, you don't even need to show a shtar, okay? Because once you use the land for 3 years and nobody complains, now if someone complains, then it's different. But if nobody complains, then it becomes yours. So now, what did you do? You sold it to someone else. Ein l'ba'alim alokach sheni klum. The ba'alim can't come back to the new buyer and say, this is mine. So now they say, hechidami, what's the case here? There's one thing you have to know. When you claim chazaka shalosh shanim, you have to say, I bought this land and I lived on it for 3 years. I don't have a shtar to show for it, but you have a buried claim that I bought the land. If you say, I don't know if this land is mine or not, but I've been on it for 3 years, that's not a good claim. So now the original owner, the second owner, doesn't really know, right? But if he says, Time va'amar minach zavna. If he knows and he says bari vadai, he says, I know that the original owner bought it off of you. Afilu rishonami. Even the first guy, they wouldn't be allowed to take it from him. So why are they just saying you can't take it from the second guy? V'idelo katan va'amar minach zavna. And if the first guy couldn't claim that he for sure bought it off of him, afilu sheni nami lo, then that wouldn't, the chazaka of three shanim wouldn't work because nobody has a tana bari that this land was actually bought. So amar of sheshet, laolam delo katayin le, it's a case where the original owner couldn't claim I bought it, it's not the original owner, the first lokach couldn't claim I bought it off the balabayit, and therefore he couldn't have, right, and as you notice what's strange about this, it's saying, only he can't take it from the second lokach, but it sounded like he could take it from the first lokach. So it's a case where the first lokach doesn't have a tanah bari. He can't say, I bought it from him. But ukigon ze toanim liyoresh v'toanim lelokach. There's a concept that if the lokach, someone who bought a field from someone, now we're talking about the second lokach, okay, the lokach who bought from the lokach, he doesn't know what happened with the original guy. In a case where he doesn't know if the guy had a bari or not, if he had a good claim, right, if he really bought it, so when the court comes in, like just like a Yoresh wouldn't know about if his father bought it or not, and the second Lokach wouldn't know, so the court comes in and can make a claim for them, and the court can claim Bari, even if they don't know the facts. They're allowed to claim Bari. So therefore, v'idach itayin im, v'i lo tayin lo. In other words, the first Lokach, it depends on whether he can be toein Bari or not. I bought it, I didn't buy it. So if he can't claim he bought it, then the lokach can take it from him. If he claims I bought it, and he had a chazaka three shanim, then that's enough for him to be able to keep the land. But the second buyer, even without a bari claim, the court will claim bari for him, and therefore he's allowed to keep the land. So if you bought from someone who was sitting on the land for 3 years, whether or not there's a good proof or not that he bought it, you're allowed to keep that property, and the first guy can't take it out of your hands.
Because of the 3 years?
Because of the 3 years, exactly. And because when we have a lokach and a yoresh who don't know the facts, the court claims a tanah bari for them.
The same way they can claim on hefker, so they can do a bari too.
Right, I guess the same way they can, right. I guess where do they have the koch to do this? And I guess they have the koch to do it because of hefker beit and hefker. And they feel like it's an unfair situation. Both right. The yoresh and the lokach are in an unfair situation because they can't know the facts. So therefore, the court comes in to help them. Okay, stop here for today. Tomorrow we'll start at the two dots.